Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 8, verse number 36. The Bible said this, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Again, the verse says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Indeed. I want to talk to you about freedom today. We just celebrated 250 years of America, and man, you know, yesterday there was cookouts, and there was swimming parties, and some people got crazy and floated down the river yesterday, and it was too hot for any of that. I sat in the air conditioning as much as I could yesterday, but anyway, thank God for Freon and freedom. Somebody say amen. But anyway, yesterday we celebrated 250 years of America. And man, I am thankful again for America. But what is true freedom today? What is true freedom today? I want to talk to you about it for just a little while. Lord, I pray that you would help us today. I pray that your will and way would be done. Father, as I preach today, I thank you, Lord, for our country. Thank you for America. Thank you, God, for allowing me to live here. God, I could have been born anywhere else in any other country, but I sure am thankful, God, that you let me be born in America. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us today as we look into your word and we look at what our country was founded on, but then we also look at what we're founded on through the scripture today. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you just a little bit today about our country, and then we'll tie it together. And Brother Rodney, I know we usually turn them down. Let's just turn the lights completely off with the exception of these up here, and maybe it'll make the screen so we can see them a little bit better today. And don't turn this one off or I'll be in the blind. Amen. But I thought about this. Whenever we look at America today and we think about America, why did people willingly leave their country and everything that they know to seek out something else, to cross a dangerous ocean and to seek out something else? Well, I thought about a few things. People came seeking religious freedom. Many early settlers were fleeing religious persecution. The Pilgrims, the Puritans, the Quakers. In Europe, many governments controlled religion. People could be imprisoned. They could be fined. They could lose their property. They could even be executed because of religion. Simply, people came here because they desired to worship God according to the scripture rather than according to the state or to the country that they lived in. Eventually, they boarded the Mayflower because they wanted a place where they could freely worship God, and that's what they came looking for. America was built, when we think about it today, America was built upon biblical principles. What was America founded on today? And I'm going to say a lot more about it, but it was founded on the Word of God today. That's what America was founded on, and it was founded on biblical principles. Americans' founders were greatly influenced by biblical truth. Think about this with me. The Pilgrims came seeking religious freedom. The Pilgrims left England because they wanted freedom to worship God according to the Bible without government interference. When they landed in 1620, before they ever stepped off the ship, they wrote the Mayflower Compact, which begins this way: "Having undertaken for the glory of God an advancement of the Christian faith." Can I just say this to you? This country was founded on "In God We Trust," and we have got away from that today, but I'm telling you, that's the reason reason America was founded today. The very first governing documents acknowledged God as their authority, their desire to spread Christianity, the need of civil government under God's authority. They believed that liberty only survives when people govern themselves under God. Think about the Declaration of Independence today. It recognized God. America's birth certificate repeatedly acknowledges God. The United States Declaration of Independence references the laws of nature and of nature's God. All men are created equal. They are endued by their Creator with certain unalienated rights, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Our rights are not said to come from a government or from a king or from a Congress. Our rights in America today come from our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and was founded upon the Word of God today. Amen. The Bible was the most influential book in the early America. Many historians note that no book shaped colonial America more than the Bible. Bible ideas influenced justice, morality, education, family, work ethic, limited government. Matter of fact, whenever you study history out, the King James Version of the Bible was commonly read in homes, churches, and schools. Children often learn to read using the Bible in early America. Can I just say this to you today? It still works today. Amen. George Washington constantly spoke of providence. In his first inaugural address, he said this: "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States of America." What was he saying? He was saying this: we have founded this country on the Lord and on God and on the Scripture. Amen. I thought about this. Education was established to teach the Bible. Listen to this. The first colleges, including Harvard University, Yale University, and Princeton University, were originally founded primarily to train ministers and educate students in biblical truth. That's the reason they was founded. Harvard's original motto was this: truth for Christ and the church. What about that? Boy, we've come a long way since then, but that's where it was originally founded for. Truth for Christ and the church. What about the Ten Commandments and the influence in early law? Although American law also drew heavily from English common law and other legal traditions, many legal principles reflected biblical morality. Examples included this: murder, theft, perjury. These mirror the moral standards found in the Ten Commandments. One of the things that's very interesting, whenever we look at the Liberty Bell today, that is on the screen, it's inscribed this way, Leviticus 25:10. "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." You know what I'm saying today? I'm saying this. This country was founded on this book right here. That's where it all came from. This is what America settled on in the beginning. Boy, we've got away from it today. I thought about this. Our founding fathers and former leaders recognized God for who He is. They recognized God. Let me show you a few things today. Is that all right? Think about this. And this is not politics. This is history. Can I say that again? It's history. Does you good to look at history, because when you look at former history of America, you'll find out that what we're preaching today is what they lived by back then. Look at this, George Washington, the first president. "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." I think we can all say amen to that. What about this today? Here is what John Adams said. We recognize no sovereign but God. Amen. I should have got more than one amen on that. We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. That's what America was founded on. Think about this. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Let's look at another one today. What about Thomas Jefferson? God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the mind of the people that these liberties are a gift of God? Amen. Let's look at this one. What about Honest Abe? Here's what he said. Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. Amen. Thank God for America today. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. What about Franklin D. Roosevelt? No greater thing could come to our land today than a revival of the spirit of religion. I doubt there is any problem, social, political, or economic, that would not melt away before the fire, such as a spiritual awakening. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. Revival would heal our land. Can I just say something? Go read the Bible and you know what you'll find? That if we'll call on Him, repent of our sins, He'll heal our land. Oh, yes. What about Dwight D. Eisenhower? Quick story, not a story, just a comment. When I was a kid, there was an aircraft carrier that was named the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower. My Uncle Scott, otherwise known as Dr. Caudle to a lot of people, served on that for 6 years, and I had the chance to go to sea with him one time for a day on the USS Dwight D. Eyesonhower. Now, it was very interesting. You want to know more about it, I'll tell you after service. Watch this. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first, the most basic expression of Americanism. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, we believe in God. What about Ronald Reagan? I'll say this in passing, probably the greatest president of my generation. But watch this, Ronald Reagan, I didn't figure I'd get many amens, but it's just truth. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. That may be starting to play out in our eyes and in our history today. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. George W. Bush said this, each day millions of our citizens approach our Maker on bended knee, seeking His grace and giving thanks for the many blessings He bestowed upon us. You say, preacher, why did you say all that today? Here's the reason that I said all that. Thank God for America and our founding forefathers and leaders who still stand on what America was founded on. But as wonderful as America is, and as wonderful as our freedom is, a flag and a country cannot save a soul. A constitution cannot wash away sin. A government may free your body, but only Jesus can free your soul. Oh, you may live in a free country today. And thank God we do. Somebody say amen. But I go back to our text. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You see, there is a lot of people living in communist countries today, yet they have more freedom than some people living in America. You say, why, preacher? Because they have learned what true freedom is. Yes, there is freedom of the body today, and we have the freedom of America today. But I want to ask you this question. Is your soul free today? Is your soul free today? Well, let me show you a few things this morning. Whenever we began to study the Bible, we'll find this. I got three little things wrote down. It's not expository. It's not alliterated. It's just a thought. Maybe you'll get something out of it. If you don't, I did when I studied it, all right? I thought about this. Number one, the Old Testament of our Bible prophesied that freedom was coming. The Old Testament prophesied that freedom was coming. What happened in Genesis chapter number 3? Adam and Eve was living in a free world. Matter of fact, more freedom than any of us know today, because it was a perfect world. But Eve was overtaken by temptation, and sin entered the world for the first time. What did Adam and Eve do? Adam and Eve went and hid themselves from God. Little did they know that they couldn't hide themselves from God. And God come talking to them in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? What did God end up doing that day? God made coats of skin. Blood had to be shed. So, preacher, it doesn't say something died. Have you ever been able to skin something and it not die? Are you with me today? You ever just caught a deer and skinned it and turned it loose? It's not going to happen. There was blood shed that day, and Jesus made coats of skin that day and clothed them. And here's what he said in chapter 3, verse 15. He said that one day, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but that one day the heel of someone would bruise the head of the serpent. You know what he was saying that day? For the very first time, it's prophesied that somebody is coming one day that will overtake Satan. And let me tell you what happened on Calvary that day. That's exactly what happened. Matter of fact, if you go to Isaiah, he prophesies unto us a child is born. We go to Isaiah 53. He said that he would bear our sins. So all throughout the Old Testament, matter of fact, some 100 to 150 times, it is prophesied that Jesus is coming. It's prophesied freedom is on the way. Freedom is on the way. Freedom is on the way. For thousands of years, they sat around and wondered, is he ever going to come? Number two, I told you, I just got a thought. Number one, the Old Testament said freedom was coming. Number two, Jesus came and fulfilled the promise. He showed up. Can I say that again? He showed up. They said he was coming. He did. They said he's come by the way of a virgin. He did. They said that he'd save his people from their sins. He did. Think about this. Isaiah 61 said this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim a liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isaiah is prophesying, and he's saying this, someone is going to come, and they are going to fulfill these prophecies. Someone is going to come, and they are going to loose the prisoner. They are going to set the captive free. It's not necessarily talking about going down to the jail cell and letting somebody out. But here's what he is saying. We are bound by sin. We are in bondage by the sin of this world. And Isaiah is prophesying, somebody's coming, and they're going to set you free. Now, listen to Luke chapter number 4. Are you still with me? Luke chapter number 4. This is Jesus talking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, listen to what Jesus says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know what he said? Everything that Isaiah prophesied of, I just want you to know something. Here I stand. Everything, you'll get that in a little while. Everything that they prophesied of, I just want you to know. I've just quoted what they said practically, and I want you to know I'm here. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. What every prophet prophesied of, they said somebody's going to come, and he's going to set us free from the bondage of this world. And hear me well. Guess what he did? He fulfilled every promise. Jesus fulfilled every promise. Imagine the scene. Could you imagine being sitting in the synagogue that day? Imagine the scene. They've heard it. They've heard the writings of the prophets, and I don't have time to go into all the history of all, but they've heard it, and now all of a sudden, he stands in front of them. It's kind of like John chapter number 4. When he looked at her and said, I'm he. The one you're looking for, he's here. You say, preacher, what are you saying to us? Jesus fulfilled everything the Bible said he would do. And I'm going to show you number 3, and we're going to go home and get something to eat. Think about this with me. They prophesied that he was coming, and he did. They prophesied what he would do, that he would go to Calvary, that he would willingly lay his life down as a lamb, as he's led to the shears, and he openeth not his mouth. Man, I'm telling you, read the Old Testament. Everything that they said, he does it. Those Old Testament prophets, man, they said he's going to come one day. He's going to come one day. He's going to come one day. Hear me and hear me well. He came one day. They said he's going to die one day. Hear me and hear me well. He died one day. They said that he was going to get up one day. Hear me and hear me well. He got up one day. They said he was going to ascend back into the heavens. Hear me and hear me well. He ascended back into the heavens. But then he said this just before he went away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Everything that he said was going to take place, it's taking place. There's one thing left, but it's going to take place. For the Lord himself shall ascend with a voice and with a shout of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet them in the clouds. And the Bible said this, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, I'm coming. He did. He said, I'm going to die. He did. He said, I'm going to get up. He did. He said, I'm coming back. He will. If he's fulfilled everything else, he'll do that. You say, well, preacher, what in the world has that got to do with right now? Here's what it's got to do with it. Some people may have walked in to a beautiful church today, living in a free country today. Everybody listening to the preacher? I'm preaching, nobody else. Walked into a beautiful church today. Are you hearing me? Living in a free country today, but you're wound up in bondage. You don't understand freedom. You turn to everything else in this world. You turn looking for freedom here, looking for easement of the mind here, looking to ease your conscience here. all the depression, all the anxiety, everything that just circles in around you. Can I just say something to you? Jesus come so that you can be free. We have this all mixed up in our mind, Brother John. So many people think that salvation, and I'm not even going to say Christianity, salvation. Just put it right there. Let's put it right down on the basis. Salvation. They think if I give my heart to Christ, it's bondage. I can't do this. I can't do that. Hey, look, I'm 48 years old. I can do whatever I want to do. If I want to go get drunk tonight, I can go get drunk tonight. If I want to cheat on my wife, I can cheat on my wife. If I want to go smoke juju weed, I can go smoke juju weed. But hear me and hear me well. When I got saved, I was freed from bondage. Salvation is free. I can do whatever I want to do, but now that I'm saved, my want to has changed. I don't want to do it. Let me tell you the reason why. This right here is the greatest comfort. Oh, yes. This right here is the greatest peace. This right here is the greatest joy. I'm telling you, man, I can get up early in the morning and get in the Word of God, and there's a deep, settled peace that comes over my heart. Freedom, it's found in the Lord today. I thought about this. What does Jesus free us from? Let me just give this to you. He came. The Old Testament said He'd come. He did. Why don't you watch this with me? What did Jesus free us from? Now that we're free, what am I freed from? Well, is it okay just to give you some Bible? Is that all right? Well, there's now, according to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation now. What about Romans chapter number 6? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Sin no longer has dominion over my life. Sin does not run my life anymore. Christ runs my life. Amen. The power of sin. What about this? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What am I freed from? I'm freed from the fear of death. I have no fear of death today. I have a fear of the way I'm going to die. I like me. And you like you. You do. Whether you want to admit it or not, you do. I don't want to hurt. Somebody say amen. Olivia told me the other day, I think it was Olivia or Victoria, one of them told me the other day, said, you're not going to make it to 50. You hit the least little headache, you take a Tylenol, and you're killing yourself. I don't want to hurt, okay? The only thing I'm allergic to is pain. Well, think about this. I'm not afraid of dying, though. I'm not afraid of it. That day, when I left the house and really didn't know if I was going to live, and walked into Northern Hospital and pretty much woke up the next day at Forsyth Hospital. When I left the house that day, I wanted to see my girls again. I wanted to see the people of the church again. I wanted to preach again. But if you've ever been at that place in your life, maybe you'll understand what I'm fixing to say. There was something inside that said everything's going to be all right. Whether I come back or not, you'll get that in just a minute. Whether I come back or not, let me tell you the reason why. Jesus set me free from the fear of death. What about this one? Romans chapter number 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What did he free me from? He freed me from the guilt of my past. He freed me from that. Have I made mistakes? Yes. But if God forgave me, can I just give you this in closing? I'll just give you this in closing. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Come, Miss Tanya. It's 12:01. Everybody's ready to go eat cheeseburgers. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, David messes up. Has Uriah killed. Sins with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, Nathan confronts him. The man of God confronts him over his sin. And you know what he does? He confesses it. David confesses it. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. When people come to me that's got caught, you understand what I'm saying right there? That's got caught, and the first thing they say is this, I'm sorry I done this to such and such. You're not sorry. Let me back up. You're sorry that you got caught. You're not repentant. Because David never said this, I'm sorry that I cheated on my wife. I'm sorry that I killed Uriah. You know what David said? I've sinned against the Lord. David knew before he could ever get it right with anybody else, he had to get it right with God. I'm preaching good right there. Knew before he could get it right with anybody else, he had to get it right with God. And you know what? The Bible said, didn't kill me in the mess that I was in. Thank you, God. He goes and worships. God dealt with David's sin. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Psalms 51. I didn't have none of this wrote down, but I just feel let the Lord talk to you about it. Psalms 51 is birthed out of 2 Samuel 12. It's a psalm of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Psalms 51, David is in a psalms of repentance. But I want you to note something out of Psalms 51. God never responds to him. Psalms 51, God never responds to David. You want me to tell you the reason why? Are you ready? This is deep. You ready? God didn't know what he's talking about. God didn't know what he's talking about. You can tell you the reason why? In 2 Samuel chapter number 12, when David asked for forgiveness, God forgave him. And you know what God does when he forgives? God chooses to remember it no more. If you go ask God about the things that I've done before I got right with God, God will look at you and go, I don't know what you're talking about. It's under the blood. I know nothing about it. It's under the blood. 2 Samuel 12 was God dealing with David's sin. Psalms 51 was David dealing with David's sin. David had to come to a place in Psalms 51 where he chose to forgive himself for what God had already forgiven him for. You'll get a hold of it in just a minute. David had to come to the place. Hear me today. That bondage that you're in, oh, you may live in a free country, but that bondage that's got you wrapped up today, I'm glad Jesus came. And if you will listen to him, that bondage that's got you wrapped up, he'll set you free. We may have come in here celebrating the birthday of the freedom of America, but you can leave today selling the birthday of your freedom. What did the Bible say? He said this, if the Son hath set you free, you're free indeed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you free? Are you free? I'm glad that I am. Those chains that once held us down, they're gone. Why? Because the Old Testament said a man was coming, his name's Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to resurrect. He's going to ascend. He did. He fulfilled every bit of it. And because of that, you can experience freedom today. If you're saved, you understand what I'm saying. You can experience freedom today. You do not have to live in bondage. And if you're saved today and you're giving the devil a piggyback ride, allowing him to beat you down over everything you've done in your past, you need to have a Psalms 51 in your life where you say, God's already dealt with it. I'm going to deal with it now. God's forgave me for it. I'm going to forgive myself for it. I'm going on to serve the Lord. I said, preacher, you're trying to preach some kind of emotional. No, I'm just telling you. That's what you can do. There is no bondage so strong that Christ can't free you from it. Read the Bible. That demon-possessed man made his house in the graves. Jesus set him free, and he went home clothed in his right mind. He'll do it for you. This preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know my story. You don't know this. You don't know. I don't have to. I know the Bible. And he said, come unto me all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's freedom.